One of the biggest summer stories, and hopefully it's not a TV show this time. That's the only thing I asked for. I don't need it to be a one-hour documentary. Something tells me he might have learned from that a few years ago. I was speaking of LeBron James. He opted out of his contract for the Miami Heat. He'll become a free agent. Now, did he opt out just to sign a more team-friendly contract? We'll find out. Will Manzo joins us from Miami. Will, how are you, man?
Doing well. Crazy day here, as you can imagine, but otherwise good.
So now I know in the best case scenario, everyone's like, oh yeah, LeBron did this so he can get a new contract. So let's break that down. What was it? What, if he didn't opt out, how much was he going to get paid this year?
Well, there's a couple of things. Number one is LeBron doesn't opt out. There was two things in play. Number one is he was making about $20 million, which obviously is a big number. Well-deserved. I mean, he's the best player in the league.
Yeah.
But it would have really not given Miami much flexibility to do what he wants. And what he wants is for Pat Riley to get more pieces around him. And number two is he would have had the option to opt out after next summer. And I think Heat fans here are trying to grasp that. And when I tell them here, and I think, you know, anyone's listening around the country and anyone's listening there, is that basically – if he could opt out next year, his options would actually be better. You know, you've had the Clippers situation. There'd be more stability there following the Sterling mess. Other situations, more teams have the ability to then trade, get cap space, have more maneuverability. You know, the reality is right now the best situation for LeBron is Miami. So if you're a Heat fan, him opting out isn't exactly bad news. I know it's scary news, but it's not necessarily bad news.
So if he gets a new contract, would it all be deferred payments? Like, how could he – like, he's not going to make less than $20 million, is he?
Yeah, I think he would. And the question is how much less? And number two is, I think more importantly, this is all – this is not about just LeBron. LeBron is the biggest piece. It's like a bunch of dominoes lined up, and LeBron is the top piece, the main piece that's knocking down the other dominoes. LeBron doing this first is the big step. But now you have to find out about Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, and those are the guys that really have to take – significant likely pay cuts. You're talking $3 to $5 to $7 million each per season on their average salary. I don't think it's that LeBron is necessarily going to make a lot less money. I think what it is he wants to see, okay, I'm going to opt out. So basically forcing Pat Riley's hand, go ahead, see what happens with D-Wade and Chris Bosh. And also, what are you going to put around me with whatever extra money you get? Are you going to be afraid to spend money past the luxury tax threshold? Which last year, Heat owner Mickey Arison got a lot of heat. Because the fact that he let Mike Miller go to save money because of the luxury tax, look, that did not sit well with LeBron. So LeBron, it's about winning titles at any cost. And I think he needs to see that effort financially from the Heat now for him to sit down and say, okay, I'm staying.
Do you think Bosh and Wade follow suit?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that they are, look, these guys are, it's been well known that they've become very close the last 4 years, you know, and Dwayne and LeBron truly are good friends, and Chris has gotten in that inner circle. They really do things together, and they make decisions together. And when the big three, you know, became 4 years ago, a big reason why is these guys have had discussions about this for a couple of years. It wasn't just like the day before they called each other and said, hey, let's play together, you know, and I think they all make decisions together. So I think the next step in this process, it would not surprise me if by the end of this week, you know, tomorrow, you know, by the beginning of next week, early next week, that LeBron is joined by Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade as free agents, and that Pat Riley then all of a sudden has to start proving, you know, why he's Pat Riley and how he can make this work again.
There was some talk about Carmelo Anthony. Is there any way, does he fit into this team? I just don't see how he fits.
Riley called it a pipe dream, and granted, that's what he would tell the media, you know, because he's not going to sit there and say, yeah, okay, we definitely are going to chase, you know, Carmelo. But he also said, look, it was a pipe dream 4 years ago when we put the big three together. So to answer your question, I don't think he fits in the equation. I just don't know how it would be so many significant pay cuts, because now you're talking about LeBron having to get down to about the $15 million range and Bosh and Wade about the $12 or $10 million range. And everyone talks about the Spurs with Duncan and Ginobili and Parker, the way, you know, Duncan only makes $10 million and Ginobili makes like $7 and Parker makes $12. That's all great on paper or if you're talking on radio. But when you're talking about other people's money and those guys, in particular LeBron being in their prime, I do not expect that they will give up that much money just to have Melo come here.
Yeah, I would agree. So then you look at free agency. Who are some guys that are realistic possibilities to go there and add some depth?
I think you look at number one position I think that he'd have to attack, and I think LeBron has hinted at this before. As much as he believes in Mario Chalmers, and Chalmers has been a starting point guard for this team on two championships, they need help at the point guard position. You know, Norris Cole is a nice backup, and he's progressed well in 3 years. I don't think necessarily he's the answer you want with these guys. There's a potential, a guy out there that's been mentioned a lot is in Toronto's Kyle Lowry, who's been mentioned a lot. I think he would be a nice piece for the team, a guy like that. I think the Heat need a point guard because, you know, one thing you saw in the finals last year that was kind of, or this, I should say this year, you know, the last finals, that was kind of hidden away because the Spurs blew out the Heat so easily, is that LeBron had to guard Tony Parker a lot, and Parker did not have a good finals because of that, but it took away so much from LeBron's game for him having to play the point guard of the other team and the energy that takes. The Heat need a guy that could just defend and play well. Guys like Lowry fit in. I think, you know, there's other guys, Channing Frye opted out of his contract. I think he's a nice fit as a big guy who can shoot. Because when it comes to the Heat, you need guys that can shoot the basketball. The reason they've won two titles in the last 4 years is when LeBron penetrates and he gets double covered, there's guys that have hit shots. The big difference this year for the Heat is guys did not hit shots from the outside, in particular in the finals. They need to find guys that can.
Will Manzo joined us, and that's a big one. You know, it was funny. We just had a guy on from Toronto earlier mentioning how, you know, Kyle Lowry, is he a guy who fits into what the Heat need?
I think he does. I absolutely think I think he's a name that's been mentioned with good reason because Kyle is a guy who's known as a good defender on top of being a good point guard. And in the Heat system, you got to be able to defend. And again, you go back to tough point guards that Miami faces, and they don't get much tougher than Tony Parker. When you have to put LeBron on a point guard, it takes away from what he has to do offensively because a lot of his effort is used defensively. So I think you have to have that and a guy that can handle the basketball. As much as in key moments the ball will be in LeBron's hands, it was in his hands too much this season, and in particular in the finals. He had to do it all, and as great as LeBron is, he cannot do it all. He needs help. Him doing it all is basically Cleveland all over again, and that's the last thing he wants at this stage in his career.
So, Will, when does Miami know, like, when are the Heat fans going to exhale? Is it once Bosch and Wade opt out, or is there a chance they all opt out and say, guys, let's all go for a big payday elsewhere?
The reason I think that the opt-out of those guys is a good sign is because, unlike LeBron, where, look, LeBron will get max salary anywhere he goes because he's the best player in the world, I don't see people giving Dwayne Wade $20 million. You know, Dwayne is 32, and he's kind of trying to reinvent himself. And I, by no stretch of the imagination do I think he is done. I mean, people who say that are silly. But I do say this. He's not the superstar he was before that's going to win scoring titles and carry teams. He needs to kind of reinvent himself. And I can't imagine a franchise in that so-called reinvention giving him $18, $20 million a year. So why would he go elsewhere for $10, $12 million when he can stay here at home and win championships potentially again with LeBron? And Bosch, the same thing. I think Bosch is still in his prime and still a good player, but his value was highest 3 years ago. I don't think his value is the same or it was now because he hasn't proven to be that double-double guy here that he was in Toronto, and I think there's still some questions out there of whether he is. So I think if those guys opt out, I think that's where Heat fans can kind of take a deep breath, okay, this is a good sign because these guys are willing to maybe financially give up a bit for the good of the team.
What about the LeBron to Cleveland? Have you talked to him? Do you think there's any chance?
No, I really don't. And this is, you know, and a lot of people will say, oh, it's just because you're a homer and, you know, you work in Miami and you cover the team. And I get that and I understand why. And trust me, I'd be the first to tell you if I thought LeBron was going to go to Cleveland. But here's the problem. The other day, LeBron, and he's not afraid to say this at any time, he basically said he's got one criteria for his future. It is he wants to win. Explain to me how him going to Cleveland helps him win championships now. I get that they have young players. I get that they've got top draft picks. I get that they've got young guys developing. But that doesn't help LeBron James right now. What helps LeBron James right now is having veterans and good players around him. And, oh, by the way, a guy he trusts in Pat Riley and a coach in Eric Spoelstra. I think this is the best fit, the best situation. So I think the Cleveland talk to me is just, I do not see it happening. No, I don't. I just don't. Again, why would he go there given everything that happened and then the fact that I don't think he's got a good chance to win there?
Yeah, look, Kyrie Irving with Andrew Wiggins and LeBron, that's not bad. Obviously, I understand
it's
they're
not.
Young. But I just,
it's
I look
not.
At...
It's the youth. Yeah, it's the youth and inexperience.
Yeah.
You know?
How much does Dwayne Wade have left in your mind?
I think Dwayne's got a good... I think Dwayne absolutely has a good 3 or 4 years left. If you look at a guy like Ray Allen as a perfect example, you know, Ray now in his late 30s is playing great ball. He had to reinvent himself. People forget that Ray was a great player at once and a great scorer. And granted, he was always a good shooter, obviously. He's kind of had to reinvent his game where he had to just be a shooter. And I think Dwayne's biggest challenge this offseason is continuing to develop his jump shot. And Dwayne's jump shot has gotten better. People forget one thing about Dwayne this year. They want to see the finals were bad, and they want to say that he missed all these games while he was kind of maintaining his knees. But Dwayne had the highest shooting percentage of his NBA career, and he was the most efficient he had ever been in his NBA career statistically. So Dwayne Wade's not done. He just needs to continue to refine his game away from that slashing, that slash persona that he had, because that's not him anymore. But he could still be a quality player and a quality scorer to help a team.
Yeah, and he probably has to play less minutes.
Yeah, and I think, look, LeBron said that too. And I mean, if you look at the Spurs formula, LeBron really complimented the Spurs a lot. And he used their formula as kind of a secret to success. And I think that's a big challenge for Riley too, is you need to get younger. You need to get younger and in positions too where LeBron's played. You know, you need a guy that could – LeBron and Wade and Bosh, these guys don't need to play 35, 37 minutes a game anymore. I mean, during the season, they should be able to get less minutes. And this year, LeBron's played a lot of minutes, and he has the last 4 years. Just no team in the NBA has played more games in the last 4 years in the Heat. And that's great because it means you're winning. But at the same time, you're really, really shortening your so-called lifespan in the NBA by playing so many minutes. These guys could use some rest, and to get that, they need to get some younger pieces around them.
Will, excellent rundown. Should be an interesting time. Quickly, who do you think goes number one overall in the draft on Thursday?
That's a good question. With the injuries and stuff, I mean, I honestly don't know. I still feel that a trade could be in play, you know. I just feel like that could be the next step. And given all the uncertainty with, you know, in that first pick, it's hard to say. I do know this, though. I do, if I had to bet right now, we'll say LeBron James is going to be back here. I can guarantee you that much.
Will, excellent. Appreciate your time.
You got it, guys. Anytime.